you ever get the chance to go to Israel, you can stand on the Mount of Olives and you can look east toward Jerusalem. There's the Eastern Wall. I'm sorry, you're looking west. And there's the Eastern Wall. And right there is a mosque. One day that mosque isn't going to be there. There's going to be a temple there. And in the Mount of the Lord, right there, it shall be seen. The Eastern Gate, we know Jesus is, he went through it once on a mule, on a colt of a donkey. He went through it one day. But the next time it's going to be on a white horse. That Eastern Gate, who has seen that? It's concreted up with rebar. You can't get in it. The Muslims thought, well, if we put rebar and concrete, that it's going to keep the Messiah from coming through there. They even put a Muslim graveyard in front of it so he couldn't go through it. I saw that. It tickled me. I thought, man, he going to go busting through there and it's not going to slow him down. I got excited about that. And then look over in Isaiah chapter 11. I like this verse. This is one because it talks about me. I am seventh generation Texan. Seventh generation. One of my ancestors signed the Texas Declaration of Independence from Mexico. Seventh generation. Six generations of my family have lived on the same piece of property. Six generations. Five generations of my family have all had their hair cut by the same barber. And he cut my son's hair the other day. It's a little scary going in there now. He can't see a lick. And have your hair cut by a blind man is kind of a scary thing. Especially when he hauls out that old straight razor and goes, shave your neck, sit real still. This is one of my favorite verses because it talks about I am not a Jew. I'm not. I'm a Gentile. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse. That's Jesus Christ. Jesse was the father of David. We know Jesus is through the lineage of David. Which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. I get to seek him. I got to seek him when I was lost. And I get to seek to be like him every day. When I was a little boy, my dad would plow. Walking behind that mule. He'd walk through the garden. He takes big steps. Walking behind that mule. And then I would always be out where my dad was. And I saw his feet print. This is one of my favorite things to do as a kid. His feet print in that soft dirt. And I would put my little foot in his footprint. And I would jump to try to reach the next one. And then I would jump to try to reach the next one. I would always try to keep my, because I didn't want to mess that nice, freshly turned dirt. It looked so nice. I tried to keep my feet in his feet print. But sometimes I would fall. Or I would miss the mark. And all you have to do is get up and keep trying. The more you grow, the easier it was. Today I could do it with no problem. That's the way the Christian life is. Every day we seek to be like him. To it shall the Gentiles seek. In Ivory Coast, they're all Gentiles. They're all seeking him, and they don't even know who he is. And without churches like this one, I can't go and tell them. I am thankful for people like this. But there's a verse I'm trying to get to that changed my life. That wasn't it. We'll get to it. Look in Luke chapter 2. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible right here. Just, I love this story. It's a story when Jesus was born. But the story right after he was born, the shepherd boys, I can identify with them. I've done things like that. You know, they're boys. They're just young boys. Their dad has left them out there to take care of the sheep because dads go home at night. We know that. They're just young boys. They're out there. They probably got a campfire. And you know what's out there? You remember there's bears and there's lions and there's wolves and there's thieves. And they're all trying to get the sheep, and all there is young boys to keep them in check. Just young, dumb boys. And they're out there telling stories to each other to try to keep each other's, at least pretend to be brave, you know. And then all of a sudden, an angel with wings, bright light, shows up. An angel has to tell them. This first thing angels always say, don't be afraid. Fear not. Because our first reaction to seeing an angel flying in the sky would be the same reaction they had. They were tying their shoelaces. They were getting out of Dodge. They were going to go home and tell their dad, too bad, there's something out there with wings. The angel had to tell them. And so then he told them, there's something that's going to happen. And, you know, those boys, they were kind of proud anyway. They grew up in the city of Bethlehem. All the prophets said Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. They're kind of already a little proud. Everybody's kind of waiting for this to happen. And the angel said, the one you've been waiting on your whole life, the one your dad has been waiting on his whole life, he was born today. In a stable behind the inn. I went to Bethlehem, not the commercial Bethlehem. I went to the ruined city of Bethlehem. That's just a little bit outside of the modern city, Bethlehem. And I stood on a foundation. I was with an archaeologist. He told me, this is obviously an inn. He said, but that's not what I want you to see. He took me around. Bethlehem's built up against a hill. And that hill comes up, and the town's here. Right up against that hill, there's a cave right behind that inn. And in that cave, all the way around it, it's almost like they dug it out of a rock themselves. There's all these little nooks in the wall. And the bottoms of them are worn so smooth. Them cows and them donkeys and them sheep licking out of the bottom of it. The farmers put their food in there. People traveling would put their food in there and they would eat and lick the bottom of it. It's worn completely smooth. And he said, can't you imagine Mary swaddling him up and having that nook in that concrete, in that rock wall lined with hay? And she gets him to sleep. And lays him up in there. And then those shepherd boys, they come in and they saw him in that manger just how the angel said they would find him. And they knew that was the one that had come to save their people from their sin. A little baby. Babies are so ugly when they're first born. They're so cute and ugly at the same time. And they look at him and they know that that's the one. And they walked out of there and didn't tell anybody. Is that what the Bible says? This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Luke 2 and verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen him how he really is? If you have, you will make known abroad what he's done for you. But that's not the verse that changed my life. Habakkuk. This is it. We'll get into it. And then we'll be done. Habakkuk chapter 2. And verse 2 and 3. These verses, when I found them, one day, they changed the way I lived my life. And that is my prayer tonight, that we see these verses and we leave here closer to Christ because of these verses. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And if you haven't got it by now, you won't get it. We'll give you a coloring paper and you can sit back there and we'll go home and eat post toasties. But remember when Jesus became plain to you? Write the vision and make it plain. Up in Buffalo, Fundy lives right there in Lackawanna. He's got those big windmills. But it's not everywhere in Buffalo you can go and see those. I drove around the side of the lake there. Now, I saw those windmills are made just a little south of where I live. And they truck them past my house all the time. Those could have been made. I don't know if that's the only place they make them. They could have been made right down there in Beaumont, Texas, just south of where I live. And I thought, that'd be kind of neat to get a picture of those right here with the city of Buffalo in the background. And so I drove around the side of the lake to take a picture and was sorely disappointed. It was so hazy that day that all I could take a picture of was haze. It's like a fog cloud. I heard him say haze. And I took a picture of white. That's all you could see was white. Sometimes in our Christian life, Jesus gets like that. We know he's there. We really can't see him. A lot of times that's how we live. We just want him to be close enough where if we get in trouble, we can run back to him. Help, help, help. But there's a lot of junk between us and him. And if it's like that, then the rest of this verse kind of loses its pizzazz. You know, we're not really running for him. We're not really waiting for him. He's just there, and we're here doing our own thing. Write the vision and make it plain. Jesus needs to be plain to you. He was one day. If you're saved, he was plain to you. You understood what he was doing for you. You got saved, and really, you understood that he loved you, and he died for you. And you remember that day when you were saved? He was plain, and you couldn't shut up about him if somebody paid you to. You had to tell everybody what he did for you. Write the vision and make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. We need to run with the gospel. Time is short. Have you watched the news lately? Have you seen the wickedness that goes on? This world is a wicked place. And every day, it gets a little more wicked and a little more wicked. Soon it's going to be as it was in the day of Noah. Just one big, wicked, evil place. And it could happen at any moment. It's getting worse and worse as we speak. We have a little time. Are you running with the gospel? Or are you hiding it? Write the vision and make it plain. Is he plain to you? That he may run that readeth it. Are you running with him? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. Are you waiting for Jesus? My boys, Danny and Gilbert. You see a picture of them over there on that thing or on my. They're 5 years old and 3 years old. I love to go fishing. It is my favorite thing to do. I love it. I'm good at it. I like to go fishing. I like to teach my boys how to fish. I like to watch them when they pull a fish up and see the joy of that fish on the end of their line. I love it. If I told my boys today, or in the morning, boys, if I told them tonight, in the morning, we're going fishing, I don't do that anymore because they wait for it. All night long, they'll be coming in my room. Dad, is it morning yet? Dad, can't we go fishing now? Oh, Dad, do we really have to wait till the darkness goes away? Dad, we're not afraid of the dark. Come on, Dad, we can go. You can do it, Dad. We'll hold your hand. If you're afraid, we'll scare them. We won't let anything get you, Dad. We'll just go fishing and have fun. Well, can't we go now? Do we wait for Jesus like that? You know, I think Jesus is coming back on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. When all the people are here this morning, they're home watching TV. With that clicker. They're not even seeing what I've sat in people's houses, watch TV. They're not even looking what comes on. They're just pushing a button. I see somebody, hey. They keep pushing a button. They don't even slow down. They have no idea what's going on. In the twinkling of an eye, they're going to be sitting in heaven. Isn't that exactly how you want to get taken to heaven? They're not waiting on it. If they were waiting on him, they'd be doing what he told them to do at that very moment. A lot of times I find myself saying, whew, if Jesus come back right now, I would be really embarrassed. That's not what I want him to find me doing. I would be embarrassed about that. Write the vision and make it plain. That he may run that readeth it. For it is yet for an appointed time, though it tarry, wait for it. Are you waiting for him? Are you running for him? And is he plain to you? If not, tonight's the perfect night to get that right. You know where you are. I don't. But tonight is the perfect night to get that right. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. As the musicians come, think it. Think about it for real. Examine yourself. That's what the invitation time is for. It's a time to examine ourselves and to decide how we can get closer to him. Is he plain to you? If not, whatever's between you and him, get it out of the way. Are you running for him? If not, think about who you should run to and determine you're going to do that very thing. Could be here in the Buffalo area. Could be somewhere else in New York. Could be somewhere in the States. Could be somewhere around the world. I don't know, but you know. You know what God wants you to do. Tonight's a perfect night to surrender, to run for Him. If you're waiting on Him, that's great. But if not, tonight's a perfect night to say, Jesus, I am going to wait on You. As we stand our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if God has spoken your heart as the musicians play, if God's spoken to you, come down to this altar and get right with Him tonight.